This is Will's Band of the Week for September 23rd, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hey.
And Chris live in studio.
In theory.
You're partly in live in studio. You're mostly live in studio.
You're kind of sick.
Yeah.
I understand, so.
I'm here in body, but my spirit is elsewhere.
He's a little congested.
He's like Michael Jordan in that game.
Yeah.
Like 63 points, right? With a fever of like 103 or something.
No, but Barrett's talking about the quote-unquote flu game, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories about that game that he was just like...
Oh, throwing the casinos off?
Yeah, either that or he was just like hungover or whatever.
Yeah.
In the 98 finals.
Flu in quotes, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So wait, Chris, maybe he just admitted that he's got a hangover from watching that Packer game. In the first half, you were probably pounding the beers, right?
No.
You would have been, though, if you weren't sick.
Probably.
Yeah. I didn't. I was able to hold it together, but it was nerve-wracking. It was just a weird game.
I kind of watched it on and off. I'll admit to running an errand in the middle of the game, but, you know, there's a good strategy for that, because the whole town is a ghost town, you know? Just think it must be even more exaggerated in Green Bay. You could, like, go anywhere during the game. Right. And there'd be nobody out of their houses.
Totally.
But I even noticed it here in Madison. Like, things get... It's not as busy places.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can always listen on the radio. Is that what you did? Or
yeah. Well, okay. No. I paused my TV. But then my TV doesn't... It'll only pause for 4 minutes.
Four minutes?
Yeah. Even if you set it to record. So I just gave up and decided, well, I'll watch the first half. And then I got back in the fourth quarter. I thought... You know, and then they were ahead, so it was kind of fun because I didn't watch the rest of it.
Yeah,
being confident they were going to win, but I definitely didn't reach the devoted fan level of you.
Mm.
Sorry to say,
it's okay.
Yeah, so let's see. We watched. I watched in person the Badgers obliterate Michigan.
Yeah,
yesterday that was fun, right?
That was fun.
Yeah, and the Brewers.
It was too bad that Michigan scored twice.
Yeah, at the
because
end,
that was
yeah.
35-14? Not at all indicative of what happened in that game.
Yeah, because it was over at halftime, basically.
Yeah, it was 35-0 before Michigan scored two slop touchdowns at the end.
Right, yeah. Yeah, 28-0 at halftime, and then I guess, they scored in the third quarter. It was 35-0.
The rushing yards was like 360 to, 30. Like, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
They just completely destroyed them.
You know what you call that? It's called controlling the line of scrimmage.
They did control the line of scrimmage, yeah.
They do that? I think they did.
Mm-hmm.
We got to update all the sports. Brewers, they won their last three. They won, 9 out of 10 or something?
They won like
I think it's
15
out of
17.
17, yeah.
That's
so
unbelievable.
The September explosion is happening again.
Yeah. They were dead. I mean, even Chris and I, who, hold out hope, and long after most people have given up, we were like, man. They're done.
Looks like it's not going to happen this year.
Especially when the best player on the team, and maybe the best player in the league, broke his kneecap.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it was a good run, but it is over now. And but then the Cubs just lost pretty much every day since then. They won a couple of times.
That was nice of them to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we're back in business.
Back in business. They're four games in front.
But the problem, I was about to say this before we started recording, the problem is the Brewers... It's looking likely that they'll make the playoffs, but it's just a one-game playoff, right? The wild card. So you're in the playoffs, and then it's like, oh, one game, over, done.
I would say that's better than not being in the playoffs.
Right.
That's true.
Also, there's still hope that the Cardinals could start losing and they win the division.
That's start. True.
It's true.
Kind of a long shot, but we'll see.
Well, they're three games back with six to go, and maybe... So the Cubs are done. They're almost... Yeah. I mean, they have like a... 1% chance of making the playoffs. And What was I going to say? Well, you were saying before we started recording that you're cheering for St. Louis, or no, Chris was, rather.
Yes.
Somebody was saying that's the wrong strategy, and, well, you sort of felt the same way, that you had sort of hoping the Cubs would win today, but...
Yeah, over St. Louis, way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the people all over Europe are excited about our analysis of this, I think, right?
Yeah, Craig is. You know, yeah. You guys know that Craig is a St. Louis Cardinals fan for whatever damn reason?
Yeah, I know. What a terrible thing. Actually, my grandfather was a St. Louis Cardinal fan, so I had kind of a soft spot. It's become less soft recently.
Right.
But, you know, historical soft spot for the Cardinals.
Didn't your grandfather grow up in, like, South Dakota or something? Or
Nebraska.
Nebraska. So yeah. That only makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you know,
they have like that big clear channel radio station,
and you know, yeah, you've got the radio station that goes for 500 miles, and you've got on the AM radio. Mm-hmm. So it's a great throwback, right?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I mentioned that on Twitter that my friend Charlie moved here from England and moved to Jacksonville, and he immediately became a huge Jacksonville Jaguars football fan.
Yeah.
And good. I said that would be like me moving to England and immediately like being a big Brighton and Hove Albion fan, like declaring
what kind of an idiot would be a Brighton and Hove fan? That's what I want.
Oh, only a terrible person,
or like Watford or somebody, right. Like just picking, you know, not one of the with the big five.
Yeah, that's
some
commendable.
Team on the cusp thing. Of relegation every year.
Right.
That's what's more important though is did he become a 38 special fan when he moved to Jacksonville?
Isn't everybody a 38 special fan?
That's true. He probably already was. He's probably pretty honored to be in that part, you know, just to be in the kind of the shadow of fame like that.
Right. Jacksonville hasn't hosted a Super Bowl yet, have they?
I want to say they have. I'm certain they have. They have.
Well, I don't remember 38 special doing a halftime show. Like,
what? Yeah, come on.
Like, if for some reason Madison did it, hosted the... Garbage would do the halftime
garbage
show.
Garbage on the halftime show, sure.
Take the only fan fact about Madison.
About Jacksonville, I believe it is the largest city in America by landmass.
Really?
Like, it's very spread out.
Wow, really? Yeah. So, like, sprawl city.
Yes. It's very sprawly.
So, maybe I've mentioned this before, but where my in-laws live in the north of Tampa area, you can drive for miles and miles... And the chain restaurants just keep repeating themselves because you go like 10 or 12 miles and then it's like, oh, there's another series of that same set of restaurants. So they must have that in Jacksonville, too.
What do you think? Yeah.
Makes America great. All right. We've got musical content, right?
That's right.
So
we did listen to some music this week.
So we're going to start with this. This doesn't happen very often. All three of us together for rock and roll. Baird and I even brought our wives. It was a total extravaganza, right?
Yeah, it was a good time. Out of town, and I mean, I've gone to an out of town show with you, but the three of us, and then adding two spouses was that was pretty special. Pretty
say cool. The right thing.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. You know, the last thing
Barrett's rolling his eyes as he says
the last
that.
Thing we have to worry about is them listening and hearing what we say,
because we know they won't listen, right? That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's be real now, since we know they're not gonna listen.
Okay,
they literally ruined the whole thing. Yeah. I will never ever go to another concert or even do anything with my wife again.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? Anyway,
Barrett is now playing a role.
Yeah. So, of course, we did, in fact, go down to Chicago and see Fontaine's D.C. We could almost call them friends of the podcast, even if it's not reciprocal, right?
Yeah.
Darn close, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think? Did it rock?
It rocked, yeah. It was great.
Have we ever mentioned them on the podcast before?
We did, yeah, just
probably
a few times. Yeah, we got the tickets all the way back in probably like April, shortly after...
After we saw them at South by Southwest.
Yeah, we came back and they announced the tour schedule pretty shortly after that. So we got the tickets and, you know, a little later got some rooms and stuff and had a lot of time to wait, you know. And in that time, how much did you guys actually listen to their album?
Like definitely a few times.
A few times.
Yeah. I mean, not like on a regular basis.
25 times or like three times?
Oh, God, no. I don't listen to anything 25 times.
I probably did. I mean, yeah. I have a playlist, like a, I mean, just kind of what I'm listening to at the time playlist, and they're like the first album on that playlist, so.
Yeah, that's good.
I probably listen to it a lot.
Yeah, I listened to it somewhere between the number of times you did. Did you feel that, do you feel the same way about it now? Or like, say, before the show? Just trying to gauge your level of anticipation for this concert. Did you like it as much, like, in the weeks before the show as you did back in, did it come out in late March?
Came out in April.
In April.
Yeah, we saw them in March. That came out in April. Yeah. I wasn't as actively listening to it. I listened to it driving up to Canada with my son, who's in Toronto. And he incidentally saw them on the Friday. We saw them on a Sunday night. He saw them on Friday in Toronto. Said he really liked it, but there were some beer cans flying around. I think that made him a little uncomfortable. You know, those rowdy Canadian people.
Hosers.
Yeah.
Throwing cans of Molson at the band.
We had people like Chris in the middle of a mosh pit, though. So, the rowdy Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris did serve a useful purpose, though, for the other podcasters. He protected the old podcasters and their wives.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He took the hits.
Kind of a buffer.
I was a human shield.
Took the hits for us. Yeah.
I did what I could. You know you're getting old. When you check your Fitbit to make sure you're getting all your steps in when you're mosh pitting.
Yeah, did it give you proper credit?
It gave me proper credit. Yeah. I left the concert and I was at like 2,000 steps after midnight. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
If you bounce enough, does it give you credit for like altitude?
Yeah, I think sure. It does it based on like your heart rate. So okay. You know, I was at full rockin' mode. So
right.
Yeah, definitely some fast heartbeat.
Yeah.
But somewhere there's a video. I still can't see myself on that video you took. My head bobbing up and down.
I know. I saw a head that I thought was probably yours, but I'm not even sure.
I did do a lot of pointing at the stage to emphasize certain, like when he yells, "I want to be big," I'm sure I pointed a lot. And anytime he said our favorite word of his that he says.
Money.
Money. Yeah.
Money.
Money is the sandpit of the soul. Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they were great, and he, what's the lead singer's name? I don't even know.
Grian?
Yeah, Grian Chatton.
Okay. He was in full, I would say, like, kind of faux autistic mode.
Kind of.
He's, like, shaking his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that's kind of what he does.
You guys can't see me, but putting his thumb on the roof of his mouth, you know, like, he did that probably 30 times. And
he kind of paces. He paces back and forth when he's not singing.
So,
yeah. It's effective as a stage thing, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. But
JJ picked up on that. She said, is that like some sort of just act or affectation or like what's going on there?
Maybe it's real.
Sure, yeah.
If it is, I'm really sorry to everybody that would be offended by that.
It's just what he does to stay comfortable up there, like a timing thing, or
he's a good front man though.
Triggering mechanism,
something
like that.
Well, maybe this is really insensitive to say, but if you have a disability like autism, and somebody imitates it to be cool, that means that you're cool, right?
Sure. In his case, I guess.
Go ahead and cut that part out.
The mic is trying to cut it out.
Yeah. See, I can just not cut things out. It's like you guys, once you leave the studio, I can do whatever I want.
Our lives are in your hands.
Yeah, I can manipulate your voices and everything.
He's right. He's added things that we did not say.
Right, yeah.
Like all the dumb things
like
that I've ever
fakes.
Said.
Like deep fakes?
Yeah, totally.
He just cuts together words from past podcasts?
Sure.
Every dumb thing I've ever said.
Well, I've got a little software program that basically records each word individually and then keeps a catalog so that I can make you guys say anything I want.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not too hard to do.
Can I let the listeners in on the secret? Chris isn't even here tonight.
Right. Hear that laugh? It sounded just like him, didn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
That February 13th, 2014. That was the laugh that we got that one from.
I'm pressing the keyboard.
Yeah, I know.
I actually died 3 years ago. People don't know that. Really.
Yeah. So.
So I shouldn't even be able to speak about Fontaine's DC since we just saw him.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah. How did we swing that? I don't know.
Yeah.
You foresaw the future of rock and roll.
Right. In case I die someday, I'm just going to say a bunch of words. Like, you know, for like NFL football on the PlayStation or something?
Yeah.
The announcers, you know, they just have to sit there in a studio all day and just say words over over and over.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do that. I'm going to say every word in the dictionary, and then I'm going to die, and then you can just say that I said whatever.
Yeah, you'll never
stitch
be gone.
Them all together.
Yep. Yeah. All right, any other words of wisdom? Oh, should we mention the venue? Lincoln Hall? Yeah, that's the first time I had been there. Barrett's been there before.
Yeah.
I had not been there.
It's a really nice kind of intimate setting, right? I was impressed at how you're pretty close to... I mean, we kind of powered our way up there, elbowed our way past people to our rightful position. But it's a...
how many people fit in there? I'm not good at that.
Like,
but it's
500 or something.
It doesn't feel like it. It's real wide.
Yeah, and I
so
think
like when you open the doors to come in, you're like, "Whoa, I'm already like pretty close."
Well, it got its name because that's where Abe Lincoln played his first punk show, right?
Yeah,
I think that's right. Yeah. And they're like, "This band is so cool."
Abe and the Smokestacks.
Yeah.
You were at that one, right?
Or the stovepipe. The stovepipes, maybe.
Abe and the stovepipes. You know there's going to be some punk band that does like an all Abe Lincoln. Everybody dresses like Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, if punk stays around long enough, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I drink enough of these punk rock
IPAs.
Just punk IPA, it's called from a brewery called Brewdog.
Right, from Scotland, by the way. That's why I give you the coolest beers.
So did you...
Wow, Scottish beers.
Where did you buy these then?
There was a local store that had it.
I
gotta buy this.
Where it was.
You brought beers back from Scotland?
No, I didn't actually. That would have been cooler, way cooler.
Had me fooled.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you pay money?
I did. I had to pay a lot of money for that six pack. I think it was like $10, maybe $9. So there, I've got kind of a tie-in to this, a transition, a very smooth transition. Before the Fontaines show, we went to this kind of cool, I thought it was a cool bar, right? Like next door to the to Lincoln Hall.
You mean the supper clubby place? Or
maybe not next door. Maybe two doors?
Yeah, it's like right around there.
The Wisconsin bar.
And we were hanging out there, and it was this kind of fun bartender guy. And Chris is looking at his phone. He doesn't usually do that, but this time he was looking at his phone.
The bar was Millie's, by the way.
Okay, Millie's.
Yes, Millie's.
We recommend it, don't we?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And Chris says, I don't know if you said shit or something like that. Rick Ocasek just died.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Wow.
Yeah.
I announced it to the entire bar.
Yeah. So, you know, I did some music journalism, by the way. Do you know that he pronounced his name Ocasek?
I did not know that.
He said, "I am Rick Ocasek." But I think everybody called him Rick Ocasek, and he just didn't care. He just... Or maybe stopped caring at some point.
Right.
Because it's like...
I wish we'd collectively do that with Andrew Carnegie instead of people saying Andrew Carnegie. Like all of a sudden in the last 5 years.
Because Carnegie is the right pronunciation.
Yeah,
right?
But who cares? Nobody ever called him that. Yeah. Like in modern times.
Were you aware that his last name was actually Ott-Kasek? Ott-Kasek? O-T-C?
Really?
A-S-E-K? Yes. Obviously changed for... simplicity's sake.
Wow. If you're going to change it, you'd think you'd name it to, you know, some really, really cheesy rock and roll.
He just took out one T. You could have had any name you want as long as you're changing it. Weird.
Do you know what Karen O's name is?
Karen O'Sullivan.
Her name is Karen Orzelek. O-R-Z-O-L-E-K. I just thought of that. It's kind of similar, right?
Yeah.
And
now, do you think she has a credit card that says Karen O on it?
You'd think so. It'd be cool, right? Just an O. It'd be very cool. Oh, and another naming story.
That would usually be my bank balance.
Am I remembering correctly? Karen Zero.
Somebody go down and play the...
That's right. Where are my sound effects?
That's my balance, right? As my last name. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wasn't there a... Wait a minute. This is for Chris. It's delayed. They're still laughing. Listen, they're still laughing.
Well, we've
keep
got
it going,
the...
Keep it going.
Yeah.
I'm waving them on.
We've got that delay button on, so the live studio audience is only like hearing it later.
Exactly.
Now they've gotten really quiet.
Yeah. Am I right that Keith Richards was actually Keith Richard? And everybody just called him Richards? And then I remember reading, I think, that he actually changed it. He's like, screw this. Not only is he not going to bother correcting it, but he's just, I'll just be Keith Richards now. Well, now, maybe that wasn't even his born name. Who knows? So anyway, Rick Ocasek, a.k.a. Rick Ocasek, died just a week ago. And he was 75,
right,
which seems kind of old. But then you remember that he was, I think, 34 when the first album came out, right?
Well,
he was like 10 years older than the other guys.
Sneaky old, yeah.
He was sneaky old. I actually kind of did some research trying to find other rockers who he's the same age of as. He's born in between George Harrison and Jim Morrison. Like, that's old.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
He's like the same age as Ray Davies, you know? Like, seriously.
Isn't that another one?
The Kinks.
That's another one, right?
Is he
Everybody
than-
calls him Ray Davies, but I've heard this is supposed to be Davis.
Really?
Yeah, but who would ever say Davis when you read?
But is he older than Ray Stevens?
Ray Stevens.
I did not think to check that out.
The streak fame.
The streak.
I do not know. That is a. I'm really embarrassed that I didn't think to check that out.
Right. All the famous Rays.
Right.
Ray Stevens. Oh my God. That's terrible.
I don't think we'll ever mention him.
I kind of don't like the fact that I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we thought, as a, you know, kind of a commemorative thing, we'd do a little Cars special.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Yeah.
We're going to talk all about the Cars. It's going to be like that podcast you were on, Chris, talking about the Pixies.
Yeah.
You went on for like 2.5 hours,
yep,
like
sure did,
micro analyzing every single Pixies album and song and, you know, arguing about which one's better than the other.
Right. And that very podcast is doing a Cars episode this week. So
oh, we got
to beat them to them.
We got to get out in front of them for
right,
sure. Yeah. Whatever they say is going to be wrong, I'm going to say, compared to what we say. So you're only here because they didn't invite you. So you decided to come on
one
instead.
You turned them down. What are you talking about?
That's right.
I guess you have been on this one a lot more than that one.
Just a few more times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, should we take it back to 1978 when the first Cars album came out?
Let's take it all the way back to the beginning.
I thought we'd just go through, what did you say, Barrett? You only know the first four albums, or is it five?
Five.
Yeah. So, and then you said
really
those only ones you know, and it's like, well, like, what else is there anyway, right?
Right. And really the first one and the fifth one, bookend three that I, you know a little bit, but... I don't know.
Number one and five are your big ones, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I like Candio, too, but and then Hits on some other ones and blah, blah, blah. But
is that what Carano named herself after?
It is, yeah.
Candio, Carano?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
But
Candio was short for Candy Orzelek.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What do you call that in common? Is that like a callback? Yeah, nice. Wow. Now, here's what you have to do, Will. You have to think of that. You have to bring something up like that again, like near the end.
Right. That's the comedic
one
method.
More,
right?
One more time.
Okay,
one
more
callback.
Reference.
Oh, a Ray Stevens joke is coming up.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, really, a lot of things, but this one's been kind of established as kind of a,
right,
yeah,
kind of a thing now.
Okay. Well, it all started with this back in 1978.
Oh,
Yeah, that was the start of it all.
Yeah, two things. That line, let them brush your rock and roll hair, that's really bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Well, a lot of the Cars lyrics are kind of...
they're not like...
They're just made up to have words to go along with the music.
And it rhymes and stuff. That's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
The other thing is, wouldn't you think that like Totino's Pizza Rolls would try to market this song and have like Totino's Pizza Rolls, you know? Right? To have like a license this song for a commercial.
This is what keeps you up at night.
This is what Wilson and I thought about when we were listening to this album a few years ago.
Totino's Roll.
Totino's Pizza Roll.
So,
a little while ago on Twitter, I threw out name the greatest 30 seconds of any band's career. And I had one specifically in mind, but now that I think about it, like the first 30 seconds of this are literally kind of what you think of when you think of the Cars, right?
Well, it's one of the things you think of.
Yeah, like it's one of the main things that you always think about when you think of the Cars is this song and the beginning. I mean, it's one of the it's one of the greatest beginnings of a career of all time. Agreed?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Blitzkrieg Bop.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
to
man.
To begin a career with that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But, yeah, it's a good start.
But I think this is similar.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So it is pretty amazing to me. The first three songs in this album are all just huge hits, right? One right after the other.
Stone cold classics, every one of them.
Yeah, here's number two, My Best Friend's Girl. A great little guitar solo there, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's just so catchy. Like, every little piece is just well-constructed.
Became the signature sound. You know, you always know when you're listening to a Cars song. That's for sure.
Yeah.
My problem with the Cars, primarily, is that sometimes I can't tell who's singing lead.
Oh, I figured that out.
Because they do switch out.
Once you figure it out, you figure it out. So, like, that those first two were both Rick Ocasek songs. And the smoother voice is Benjamin Orr. He's got like a little more traditional singing voice, whereas Ocasek sounds like kind of strained.
Right.
Like it's sort of a Cars signature.
Because when I was like, you know, a teenager and stuff, I just thought he sang all of them.
Yeah, so did
I. Yeah.
And then I only learned that Benjamin Orr sang like Drive.
Right.
Like, what? Well,
I saw the video for Drive.
You're kidding.
I'm like, well, that's not the fly guy from... the song.
Oh yeah,
you might think.
Oh weird, I do remember that.
That became like one of the first big videos on MTV that really caught everybody's attention was the video for You Might Think, because it was just so surreal. I don't know if we're gonna get to that eventually, but
yeah, we'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, they were trailblazers in music videos. It was like that and Dire Straits, like Money for Nothing. We're kind of like
monster MTV hits,
stretching the boundaries of what could be done with videos.
Yeah. So okay, you've got those two, but that's not enough because now it's time for Just What I Needed.
Not the ribbons in your hair.
So there, in My Best Friend's Girl, it comes out immediately. You're in the first minute of the song, and the first verse ends, and they got the guitar solo. This one has that synth thing going on, right?
Yeah. That, super that, catchy. That little keyboard solo thing is such evidence that an incredible solo doesn't have to be complicated at all.
Right, exactly.
Like, that is
total simplicity.
Right. Compare yeah. that to like a Emerson, Lake, and Palmer keyboard solo, which is like so much more technically
right.
complicated.
Yeah.
And this is so much more memorable and just perfect. Like anytime a band, like a modern band, wheels that kind of sound out, it's like, yep, the Cars. So,
yep. So, yeah, and then great. That one, that was Benjamin Orr's debut as a vocalist. So, yeah, he's got a little smoother voice, more... I wonder how they decided, though. You know, I'm sure they could have sang each other's songs or whatever. But
so if you were if you were listening to this in 1978, take yourself back, not knowing what you know now. How would you categorize this? Would you say that it's punk?
We used to call it new wave. I think. I mean, it was a little bit. I don't even know if there was a thing called alternative rock yet.
No,
definitely not.
No.
Yeah, it was new wave.
Yeah.
But so like the poppiest of new wave.
Right.
Yeah. So I was
radio new wave.
In reading up on the Ramones, as I had been doing a few weeks ago, like the whole punk category kind of sucked in all these bands that you'd never even consider to be punk. Like, you know, Blondie, people thought it was punk, and Talking Heads.
Yeah. I never thought of Blondie at all as punk.
Just anybody that kind of came out of that scene.
Right.
Everybody's like, well, they're punk.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's so many bands that say they were influenced by Blondie, and they always seemed just like a pop band to me. I'm a pretty good pop band, but where people thought they had this edge, I didn't really think they had that much of an edge.
I disagree. There's a little bit of an edge in some of it, and I think the band Priests sounds like...
They got a little Blondie in them, you think?
Like Blondie, yeah.
So, you got those three... And then later in the album are a couple of other really great tracks. Though I guess I was going to make a comment that I would probably really, really dislike the Cars if I had been forced to listen to the radio for the last 20 years or so. Because they're just on the radio all the time. And it's one of those bands where if you're overexposed to anything, I think I just like start to hate it, you know? So fortunately for me, I've rarely listened to the radio for the last 20 years, so I haven't really heard these songs too much to just kill them for me.
Right.
So I think I can look back and appreciate them more than I would have.
Sure.
But, you know, like classic rock radio, and I mean, they're just all over, right?
Yeah, the problem with that is you have a whole new generation that'll have no idea who the Cars are if that type of radio goes away. Like, I only heard the Cars as a kid... Mm-hmm. By listening to like classic rock radio, because
right
1978, I was 5 years old. I wasn't like, you know, I didn't run down to the store and buy the first Cars album.
Sure.
Really?
Because
when I was
three, I was going to buy the new Stooges album.
You're like, I used to like, Iggy.
Yeah, my parents would give the babysitter money, and I'd like steal the babysitter's money.
Yeah, because you were cool back then. Yeah,
but.
Yeah, when I was two, I was more into the MC5.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, do you guys...
Kick out the jams.
Do you guys have any other tracks? There's a couple more that I think I could play that are more...
Moving in Stereo is a great song.
Yeah. Moving in Stereo is great.
Bye Bye Love, I think, is pretty good.
Those are the two that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Well,
let's stay in order and play number 7, Bye Bye Love.
say a couple things here. That's another, like, this album's just insane. It's kind of perfect, beginning to end. But without picking this one, the fourth song, when we were on the way back from the Fontaines show, and Chris was riding with us, we just played a bunch of Cars, and the fourth song, I'm in Touch With Your World, came on, and Chris is like, this could be a Talking Head song. And he's absolutely right. And it was very insightful.
It's about time I get some credit on this podcast.
Yeah, that was a very good thing.
Should we play that?
Yep. And then the other observation that listeners can do on their own, the last song, All Mixed Up, sounds like a song by the Zombies. So.
Wow. Unbelievable. All right. Oh, before we play I'm in Touch With Your World, I forgot. Kenny, you got to remember this again. Right? That was just what I needed. So Chris made this comment earlier in the week. You know, the non-Cars song that's a Cars song, right?
Yes. What's the song out there that's not a Cars song that is the most Cars song?
Right. And it's really obvious and it's funny, right? Okay, well, that's, of course, Stacey's Mom by Fountains of Wayne. That sounds a lot like Just What I Needed with that, you know, that kind of staccato crunch guitar thing.
Yeah, totally.
And Fountains of Wayne knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch the video, the video, which is a little bit troubling to watch now, because it's like an 11-year-old boy lusting after a grown woman in a bikini.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But at the beginning of the video, there are two children dressed up like Rick Ocasek and Benjamin Orr. So that's a dead giveaway that, yes, we knew exactly what we were doing on this song.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was kind of fun. All right, let's go back to track 4 from the first Cars album, I'm in Touch With Your World. And we're all going to evaluate Chris's comment that it sounds like the Talking Heads.
Now I'm on the hook.
I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
It's reasonable.
Thank you.
You win. Yeah.
Thank you. I win.
But, yeah, so he's gotten credit for that and for the Stacey's Mom thing, and that's about enough.
Yeah. It's about time for Baird and I to come up with something original, insightful thing. Yeah. Well, we could take 5 hours if we just stay on this album, you know, for too long.
I should actually note that I own this album on vinyl.
Yeah.
It makes you cool. I did own it on vinyl, but it went away with my big vinyl collection.
Oh, I shouldn't tell you that I stole it from you?
Oh. Well, okay. It went away after Chris stole the Cars album. The rest of the vinyl I sold. We should probably play Moving in Stereo, though, right? This is great. Except for my shoes.
Life's the same. You're shaking like tremolo. Life's the same. It's all inside you.
Yeah.
Pretty cutting edge synthesizer sound at the time.
Right. Yeah, totally. I'm glad we played that one. All right. So then an entire year later, they came out with another album. Bands used to do that. They put an album out in like every year, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen anymore. Rarely happens.
I don't know if we were going to do this at the end where we list favorite songs or whatever, but I'll probably give it away right here that the first song on Candio, which is Let's Go, is by far my favorite Car song.
Yeah, I think it's probably mine too. Yeah. That's amazing.
I wouldn't be able to, it's a hard choice for me. I don't know if I'd say by far, but it's right up there. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess we should just go and play Let's Go.
Yeah, Chris wins again. What is this? This is a Chris-dominated podcast.
It's just, it's that Cars, it's that, it's the Cars sound, and then it's, they throw the synth in there, which I love, and then they throw something else. Well, they have the, like, the bow, 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 yeah, like that kind of sound to it that's very Cars-y.
Yeah.
And then they throw in that synth that sounds like a violin. And I'm a sucker for violins, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
So there's
just
so much going on in that song.
And then there's the hand claps.
And the hand claps. Yeah. You know, it's the girl in the song is 17, but, you know, it's a vestige of... It's the 70s, man.
Yeah.
I think we can overlook that, maybe.
So,
right. At least by that time, the, you know, quote-unquote, ideal female age is... gone from 16 in the 50s all the way up to 6 or
17.
Did I say 15? I meant 16 and then up to 17.
Did you know that back in something happened back in 1979? A carload of teenagers from the Fox Valley drove down to Madison to see the Cars at the Dane County Coliseum. Wow. I was in that carload of teenagers.
What?
Yeah, so we saw the Cars. Yeah, we were right up like toward the front. Kind of like our usual front left position.
Wow.
And then I remember going out to the back when they came out afterwards, and I don't remember having an autograph. I remember like standing there, and Greg Hawks, the keyboard player, was hanging out. So I was in the presence of the Cars keyboard player. I can't remember if I saw the rest of them or not.
Much we but also yeah. we buried the lead. Barrett actually bummed a smoke from the drummer from Fontaine's DC.
I was going to. I'm an ex-smoker, and I was getting in the mood to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked again. He's like, he said he only had rolled ones. Mm. I was like, well, I don't know how to do that. Can you like do it? And sorry. He's like, I gotta go. We're gonna be on the stage. And
he said, I got a show to play, man.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said, but I was like, wow, hey, you're in the Fontaine's, cool. And then, he said, yeah, hey, we'll see you after the show.
And then we
of course,
didn't.
I thought that meant that he was going to invite us somewhere after the show. But turns out it was just a polite thing to say to me.
You should have shown up at the next show, and you're like, hey, dude.
Where were you, man? Yeah. I was waiting for you after the show.
Any other big songs on Candio? Let's see here.
I think the title track is pretty great.
You're in charge.
All right, number six. Or really, more accurately, side two, song one, Candio.
Guitar thing on there sounds kind of like Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, it does. Sort of.
Anytime I get a chance to listen to or to mention Thin Lizzy, I'll do it.
You know, one noticeable thing, all these songs I've been playing, and I'm playing like a little over a minute of most of them, they do not waste any time whatsoever, right? There's no, there's a little bit like Moving in Stereo, there's a little bit of an introductory thing, right. But most of it, they just hit it right off, right? The hook just starts immediately.
Yeah, this podcast could probably take a lesson from that, right?
Yeah.
We are talking about a bunch of stuff.
They don't like
shit
talk about the Brewers,
like
right?
Yeah. How much time we got left? 15 minutes? Let's start talking about the music.
Yeah. So, Candio is not like full of hits like the first album,
right?
But definitely has its moments, and I think those are probably
I'd
the
say
two biggest
the
highlights.
Third song is an incredible one of their top five for sure. It's All I Can Do.
All right, yeah, we got to play that one. We're totally featuring Benjamin Orr on the songs from this album.
Yeah, this is a Rick Ocasek retrospective, and
yeah, that was his
Let's
band.
Go, which I just said is my favorite song, not a Rick Ocasek song.
Well, I think he wrote most or even all of them. You know, and then he just said, "Ben, you can sing this one." You know, that's the way I think of it. So, number three, it's All I Can Do. Yeah.
They break out that keyboard sound again.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's great. I'm glad you mentioned that one, Barrett. It's a good one. So, Yeah, and it has a classic album cover from like that era, right? A woman sprawled out on the hood of a car.
Does it look like anybody that you any musicians you like?
I think we were saying this before, and I think I'm gonna just we're gonna leave it.
Just don't say it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say it.
It's a very scantily clad redheaded woman, very seductive.
Yeah. Are we going to go to the next album now? Anything else, Chris?
You're going to have to fire yourself from your own podcast.
I think I might have to, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. No, that's all I got for Candio.
Okay.
So I did watch The Devil and Daniel Johnston.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What did you think?
It took me a while to get into it, to mm-hmm. realize like what his special talent was.
Mm-hmm.
And even after I finished watching it, I was like, is he really that good? But then I listened to some of it. I'm like, yeah, he's really that good.
Yeah, you can't tell from the special, because it doesn't really play that much of his music, really.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's more of the human story, you know? Yeah.
No, but it was great.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
As I was texting Barrett as I was watching it, there's like the guy who's like, because his point was there are a lot of people who stand to make a lot of money by kind of like saying what a genius he was.
Sure.
And so the guy that at the art studio was like,
oh, yeah.
This is like Renoir, or this is like, and it's literally a magic marker picture of Captain America that he drew. It's like, come on, stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can acknowledge that people have talent without going overboard with it.
Yeah.
Didn't you kind of feel bad for the guy though, who promoted him for years and years, and he just said you're fired?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go to the next Cars album, Panorama.
Yeah.
1980, so now only another 1 year interval.
Right. Cranking them out.
You know, I went back and listened to, I didn't listen to this like all the way through, but in the past week, just kind of listening to bits of it. It's not really quite how I remembered it. At the time, I remembered it being kind of, hey, this is pretty cool. It's really different and a little bit experimental. And I kind of still feel the same way about it in general, but it didn't, like, I couldn't really find the moments that you know, struck me back then. But of course, that's so long ago, I just probably forgot. But this album did not have big hits on it really at all, right? Were any of these songs hits?
Nope.
And yet, there's some really good stuff on it, I think.
Touch and Go is a minor hit, I think.
Okay.
It is the song that Apple has put the star next to, so
right, yeah,
that too.
That's a good one though. Let's play that.
Sure.
And then we'll talk more. Number two, Touch and Go. Isn't that an unusual combination of sort of a synthy, bouncy thing, and then it turns into this galloping kind of Western sound?
Yeah, that's a good way to describe that.
I think it's cool. I like it. Always liked that song.
All right, so that's Panorama.
Yeah, you know, like, you listen to some podcasts, and they'll get ready for a special like this and be like, kind of pretend like they're intimately familiar with every album that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And the ones that we did that on, I can honestly say that I was, REM and the Wilco, you know, specials.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not gonna spend 2 hours listening to Panorama, Candy O, and Shake It Up, and pretend that I'm pulling these things out of 40-year-old memory, because I'm not. So I don't know this album that well, but I did listen to it, and it sounds it's cool. It's different. Seemed a little riskier than they necessarily had to do, but I think they kind of went back a little bit poppier on the next one.
Does Shake It Up have any famous songs on it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we're not up to that album yet, though. You know why?
Given the name of the song. Oh, go on.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah. Because we got to play one more from Panorama, because there's another unsung, cool song, and I'm going to play it. The last song. This is really cool. Number 10, Up and Down. Yeah, Up and Down.
It's a good one.
Yep. So Chris's Apple Music has a thing that shows him like a little icon. Friends who have listened to these albums, and it's got my initials there. How do you get that?
Really?
Yeah.
Mine doesn't do that.
My Cars things on my Apple Music, it has a little BK sticker on them.
Wow, Barrett, it's like Kilmer. The Barrett seal of approval.
Yeah, Barrett has listened to this.
That's probably like a iTunes-wide thing. Right, the BK thing.
But see, for the ones that I've listened to aren't on his phone.
Hmm.
I wonder why that is. He's blocked me.
Yeah, he probably blocked you.
Yeah.
He was listening to the entire catalog of 38 Special one night, and he didn't want you to know.
Yeah, what if I don't want people knowing that what I'm listening to?
Right, exactly.
I know, it's like...
Right. There's a lot of these things that are like...
Do not search Martin Denny albums. Somebody stole my phone.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of Lady Gaga. CS.
So, all right. Now, I think they stopped their one album every year streak, right? No, wait. Shake It Up, 1981? Wow.
See, 80 and then 81.
Unbelievable.
Yep, that's 78, one more 79, year. 79, 80, 81.
Yep.
Four albums in 4 years.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Shake It Up came out in 81. Now, at this time, I totally thought the Cars were no longer cool, and I didn't like Shake It Up. But now when I listen back, yeah, it's all right. Like, there was no reason to hate it.
At this time, I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
This is the first
one. And I thought I was going to grow up to be a dinosaur.
This is the first one that I bought. I remember going to Shopko. Remember Shopko?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that just went out of business.
That's short for the shopping company.
Mm-hmm. Shopko with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Now gone.
Yeah.
But, they had a record department, and I went and bought it. I just kind of remember like picking it out. I also remember going back to the customer service desk and returning it.
You returned it?
I returned it because I didn't like it.
Wow.
What? Yeah. Usually, what I would do,
you could return albums.
You taped it, right? You taped it on your cassette player. Yeah, I returned it.
Maybe I did that, but I would. I used to do that. I would tape something and then be like, "Yeah, it's like scratched or something," and then I'd get my money back.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I don't remember even taping it. It's not something I did a lot. I probably remember doing it two times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. probably why they're in bankruptcy now.
You're the lawyer. Is there a statute of limitations on
this? These bankruptcy attorneys are going to be like suing me now.
The Rick Ocasek estate. Yeah.
That's right.
We want, what was the record back then? Probably like $798. We want $798 from this guy.
Yeah, you ought to just pay him. Just send it right now, Barrett, to the Ocasek estate.
With interest, it's like $13 million.
Right.
I know, right? Yeah, interest, compounding interest, and then, you know, like a modern, you know, conservatively invested.
It's doubled every year since 1981.
At least.
If you had just put a dollar in a piggy bank back then, you'd have $1 million now, right?
Yeah,
I think that's how the math comes out.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
All right. Since You're Gone is great, right? It is. It's the first song on Shake It Up. Here it is. I really didn't like it at the time, but when I listen to it now, I think, that's a catchy song.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Nah.
What?
I guess we should play Shake It Up because it's the title track, right?
Yeah, it should be noted that the cover of the album is a pretty lady shaking a mixed drink, a martini or something of some kind, very enthusiastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of lipstick.
Yes. So yeah. Very literally shake it up.
Yeah.
So that's, there's no nuance there.
She's doing that right. Yeah, Shake It Up.
Yeah.
That's a banger.
Did you guys have the Shake It Up album? I didn't have the album, so I only heard the hits.
That's the one that I returned to Shopko, so I had it briefly.
Yeah, you had it, and then that's the one. So then
slipped
you
through his fingers.
Yeah. Just think, maybe like track 8, Think It Over, might have been one of your favorite songs ever, but you just didn't give it a chance.
Yeah. This was 4 years before I ever bought an album, so... We're still off a little bit.
Wait, what was the first album you bought?
First album I ever bought.
Was it Simon and Garfunkel?
It was Phil Collins, No Jacket Required.
Oh.
Wow.
And the second I ever bought was Sting, Dream of the Blue Turtles.
dude.
This is like 1985.
That sucks. You were a really lame 12-year-old.
And then yeah. I think I bought Purple Rain not too long after that. Okay, good.
You know what? I wish I knew what was the first album I ever bought. I know the Kiss Destroyer album was really early.
Yeah, mine was Kiss Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah, Destroyer. No, my mom bought the Destroyer album for me at the H.C. Prangy Company. Remember that department store?
Yeah.
In the mall? So she goes there, she finds a Kiss Destroyer album, and she admitted that she felt really weird. Like, I'm buying this scary thing, like with these cartoon character guys on it, right? They gave her kind of a weird look.
That's like 1975, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
So maybe the Foghat Fool for the City album from about 1973. Foghat. Yeah, that was one of the first ones I bought, I think. Remember Fool for the City?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Also had this song Slow Ride on it. Remember that one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Terrible song. But Fool for the City was kind of cool. It was a faster one.
What are you talking about? Slow Ride's a great song.
I just hate
it. It's a great song.
How dare you? Don't like it. Don't like it. Dude, if you like Slow Ride, you probably like Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, too, right?
That's a great song.
Yeah,
yes.
It's kind of like, I don't know.
Motor City Madman. Yeah. So, wait a minute. So it's your contention that there are two types of music fans. One, those who like Ted Nugent Stranglehold and Foghat Slow Ride.
Yeah.
And then those who do not.
Well, I liked them back then. And I think I've just like reflected badly. And Stranglehold's better than Slow Ride, I'll say. I'm going to put it ahead on the ranking. Let's see, where are we now? Anyway, anybody else for a choice for the Shake It Up album, or should we move on?
We could move on.
Barrett has some extremely intellectual remarks to make about the next one, Heartbeat City.
They aren't intellectual remarks, but they are observations.
I should note that four of the first five Cars album covers all have one thing in common.
What's that?
That they all have pretty ladies on them.
So does this one.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I meant. This is one of them. The only one that doesn't is Panorama.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this came out when I was in high school. And, you know, I remembered being younger and really liking the Cars hits and stuff. And I knew their first album really well. Didn't know the other albums very well, but knew the big songs. And this came out, and it sounds quite a bit different. And I was like, this just sucks. I had zero use for any of this. Mm-hmm. Couldn't stand it. And so I never thought anything about it for, 30 years or whatever. And I don't know, when Wilson was, a young teenager, I showed him the first Cars album and maybe played some of the big songs on the other albums. He really got into it. He went out and bought the old records at the used record store and stuff. And then he eventually got around to buying this. And then he bought like the, 30th anniversary special edition CD with all the bonus tracks and stuff. I'm like, dude, I don't know if you needed this one, but whatever. And then, but then he'd play it in the car for me. And he's like, what about this song? This song's really great. And I'm like, well, at first I'm like, that's just not my thing. I can understand why you like it, but yeah, that'll just be your thing. And the more and more I listen to it, the more I'm like, you know what? This album is just really, really good. And, now it's kind of a special album that, in our relationship. seriously, it's like just something that, because I turned him on to so much stuff, and he kind of turned me on to this thing that I thought I didn't like, and now I really like it a lot.
So what would be the highlight or highlights?
I don't know. I don't really know any of the songs.
You just know the thing.
I'm just kidding. like an obvious one would be Drive, which is just a really beautiful song.
Gonna tell you when it's too late.
So for that, like, you know, Nicholas will talk about the perfect listening scenario, or maybe you do sometimes, or we probably all do. Just like driving down late at night, very peaceful, quiet. Most people are not driving anymore. Big wide boulevard, just cruising down with a friend or a son or whoever. Just getting into a wistful mood and turning that way up, rolling the windows way down. Yeah.
So I feel like...
It was unbelievable. It's like I just have a real strong connection with this, and it's only come about in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I feel like we've just been subject to a fireside chat. One of
yes.
The Barrett fireside
chat. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. It's actually a TED Talk, but so fireside chat works too.
I feel our experiences with this album are completely opposite in that I was 11 years old when this came out, and... loved it when it came out. Like, I didn't actually buy it, but all the radio songs, I loved every one of the songs. And then really forgot about it, and then never listened to it again until kind of getting ready for the show. Whereas you didn't like it initially, and then now have come to like it recently. Yeah. So I loved all the songs when they came out. You might think I thought it was just the most genius song ever because it tied in with, like I said, with the MTV. I was watching a lot of MTV, mm-hmm. and it was like this new computer animated graphic stuff where, like, Rick Ocasek is a fly flying around, and yeah. like, oh my God, what is this stuff? Like,
how do they do that?
Right. And I gotta say, I really don't like Drive.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I gotta say, I really don't like you, but
I. Back then, it took me a while to figure out that it was actually a Cars song. Hmm. I thought it was like Europe or something.
Okay, well, literally about operating a car.
I thought it was like Toto or something.
Okay, well, you know how they there was an old Steve Martin joke about how at McDonald's they just put everything into a machine and it comes out and it tastes like McDonald's. Like, everything tastes like the French fries, whether it's the burger or whatever, no matter what it is. And so... that song sounds like you put it through the 80s machine, right? And it comes out and it sounds like an 80s song, and the drums and the synthesizers and everything, and the bass, instead of being like regular bass guitar, it's got that boom, boom, you know, synthesizer, you know, kind of, it's a whole 80s sound. And so if you liked the earlier Cars sound, and that is how I reacted to this song too, I'm like, well, they've turned into an 80s machine. But I'm a little more on Barrett's side on this, because when I listen back, I do think that's a really great song.
Well, like I said, I was unaware that anybody other than Rick Ocasek sang for the Cars. And then I heard that song, and Ben Ort sounds very different on that song.
A little bit different, yeah.
And so that's why I figured, like, what's going on here? This isn't a Cars song.
Yeah.
But I've referenced it a couple times about how much I like You Might Think. So let's play that.
Yeah, okay, here we go. You Might Think.
So
Yeah. So that song, I think, has like, it's half the earlier Cars style and half 80s production. Pretty catchy song, right?
Yeah.
I remember very specifically listening to that song and Michael Jackson's Thriller at the same time, because they were both out at the same time. That was in the mix at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is probably, well, okay. It's not the best Cars album, but that's my controversial opinion, is that the Michael Jackson Thriller album is the most overrated album of all time.
Wow.
That is the dumbest comment of all time.
Oh, it is just, oh my God, I don't ever need to hear Billie Jean again. Come on. Just,
well, being sick of something is one thing.
Yeah, it's not,
but when you listen,
it's not Michael Jackson's fault that you've listened to it too much.
Yeah, listen to the intro for that song. It's just insane. It's like, how did this even happen? How did this happen?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. No, it's not perfect.
Did Michael Jackson do something to you?
No.
Do you need to tell us something?
He did nothing to me, but... Okay. But I've never, I think part of it is just like the popularity of it, and like everybody likes it more than I like it, and therefore to me it's overrated. Just like the TV show MASH. Okay, like, okay, you can put as many laugh tracks over those Alan Alda jokes as you want, but they're just not that funny. They're just not that funny.
Radar O'Reilly is pretty funny.
It's yeah, maybe he's a little bit funny.
He's from Delavan, Wisconsin. Is where he? My wife is from.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. His dad used to be the bus driver.
Wow.
Yeah.
Barrett knows all the cool people.
I should also note that this was about the time, and I've mentioned the video a couple times, that people, I think, started to get an idea of what Rick Ocasek looked like, because this is the dawn of video, and people are like, whoa, wait a minute, that's what the guy from the Cars looks like?
Yeah, he's this lanky...
So old, yeah.
Was he tall, or is he just so thin that he looks
gawky.
Tall?
He's gawky. I don't know if he's tall or
he's
not.
Really gaunt.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Wearing the sunglasses, and
he
became kind of a running joke at the time. Because he began dating Paulina Poroskova, who was like... Because
he met when they made a video.
Yeah, she was like the it supermodel at the time.
Yeah,
And so here she is dating this weird-looking, lanky guy who's obviously very talented. But
yeah.
I think he gave hope to weird-looking people everywhere.
Absolutely.
That we just have to be talented enough.
The dream of the nerds.
Well, yeah, he was like the perfect example of like, here's a musician. All you have to do is be a musician and you can get like the most beautiful woman in the world. Yeah. And they got married in 1989 and stayed married until 29 until he died.
Apparently they were
30 years.
The article said they were at this time estranged.
Yeah, but they're kind of split like a year before.
But not so much so that she wasn't the one that found him dead.
Yeah, she was
in
there.
The townhouse.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, 29 happy years then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's pretty good. Like, I've been married for 25 years.
And almost five of them have been happy?
All but five. Like, that's pretty good. Again, I know my wife isn't listening to this thing.
When she, it was things were going pretty well.
That's a lie.
Things were going pretty well until she ruined the Fontaines show.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That was over 26 years into the thing. You think you get that far. And it's like, we're out of the woods now. There's no, don't have to worry about ever splitting up.
Mm-hmm.
She made a great,
but she's testing that.
Made a great bar recommendation. I like the bar. We walked into a
bar.
That
was me.
What?
Again, somebody gets improper credit.
I thought she suggested it. What was the name of the bar?
The Local Option.
The Local Option.
We both did. I mean.
Oh, yeah. That
we
was
walked
a good
in
one.
There and they're playing Radiohead and we're like, oh my God, this is where we're supposed to be.
Don't you think that?
And then when we left, they were playing Love's Forever Changes too.
You know that we haven't mentioned this, but after the Fontaines show, we basically walked the entire city of Chicago, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Went to a few bars.
Got some really great burritos on Diversity Avenue.
Yeah, which completely...
I just had one taco, but it was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it completely wiped out the all the steps that I got on my Fitbit from moshing.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Counteracted
it all evens out. Yeah. Okay, back to this Heartbeat City album. Before we finish up with the Cars, I was kind of going through this and thinking the title track is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's number 10, Heartbeat City.
Thank you.
Heartbeat City.
Remember when we talked about that producer that, I don't know if he did like 10 CC's I'm Not in Love and then also Bohemian Rhapsody, or maybe I'm conflating those two.
Roy Thomas Baker? Correctly.
They got some of that sound going on.
So Roy Thomas Baker did the, didn't he do the Queen, A Night at the Opera album, and the first U2 album?
I don't know about the U2.
And the first Cars album, maybe the first couple.
Really?
I think so.
Because I don't hear that signature sound anywhere except for here.
Well, like I didn't mention this back when we, like several hours ago, when we talked about the first Cars album. And, you know, when there's that vocal that comes in where they say Good Times Roll, and there's like, it sounds like 100 people singing. And now compare that to Bohemian Rhapsody, right? So it's a producer who knows how to make a giant backing vocal thing. I was actually going to be a little critical of that because I think it sounds a little bit forced, right? When they say Good Times Roll, it's like, okay, you turned a machine on. It doesn't sound like real people. That would be my criticism. So we're going to, everybody go back and see if that's Roy Thomas Baker. If it's not, then I might have him mixed up with like one other producer, famous guy. But yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I
guess, we're so DIY, we make people do their own music journalism.
Things in music that sound like artificial. I'm surprised that bothers you because that's like a lot of what we listen to. It's not like, you know, but well.
All right.
I will say this about the Cars. Are we doing any of their other albums?
Their career has now ended, according to us.
Yeah.
Except for the Todd Rundgren band, The New Cars, with Todd Rundgren as the lead vocalist. Like, what a weird thing, right? That actually happened.
Yeah. Trivia item. Their drummer, David Robinson, the drummer for Jonathan Richmond and the Modern Lovers.
And the Cars.
And a center for the San Antonio Spurs for years and years.
That's what I meant.
Like, yeah.
There's the big, yeah. So the Cars.
He was with Jonathan Richmond before the Cars.
Totally stepped on my joke.
Yeah, he played for the San Antonio Spurs.
Right,
he was
the
in
Admiral.
Right.
But,
and I think the guitar player, Elliot Easton, was in that too, right?
I think Jerry Harrison was from the Talking Heads.
He was, really?
Mm hmm.
What a weird
Milwaukee
thing.
Native.
Milwaukee native.
Damn you. This is going to be one of those, when you listen back in 10 years, you'll predict what you were going to say.
No, it's going to happen.
This was produced by Roy Don Baker or whatever, the guy you were talking about, making it sound like we're all saying the same thing at the same time.
Roy Thomas Baker.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Chris doesn't care what the guy's middle name is. I mean, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
I should note that after Post Cars, Rick Ocasek became a producer.
Yeah, really good one.
And produced many of the classic albums of the 90s, including, Bad Brains, Guided by Voices.
Yes.
Weezer's Blue Album, which, in my opinion, is one of the top 10 albums of the 90s. Not a Surf, Bad Religion, Jonathan Richman, some No Doubt. So he produced quite a bit, and I know he's very influential on all his bands.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cool.
As far as the Cars generally, here are my thoughts.
Okay, now this is we've been waiting for this.
I'm wrapping this up. You know, we have arguments about bands who are overrated and bands that are underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the Cars are pretty properly rated. Like, I think the songs that should have been hits were hits. And the ones that shouldn't have been hits generally weren't.
Yeah.
Like, I think some of the albums are pretty uneven, but when they hit their highs, there was nobody better. And I'm glad to see that they got the recognition that they deserve.
I think they brought a whole different sound. You're right. But they brought a whole different sound to Top 40 radio that wasn't around before they did it. And they deserve credit for that. You know? Maybe introduce some people to different sounds, and maybe those people went up and be like, oh, what? Let me check out some other things. Maybe that's going a little too far. But, I mean, they were not in step with the rest of what music sounded like in 78 to 81.
Yeah, like I said, any band that you can listen to them and immediately know what the band is, then you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I can't say any more. I would degrade the average comment if I made another comment, so I'm not going to. Great. Now you guys gave me the editing job. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I have to do all the work.
Should also note, anybody out there in America, you should definitely go watch the PBS series by Ken Burns on country music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been begging Barrett to watch that.
I watched the first two.
Yeah. It's, to me, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to do.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not a country fan, and I'm not, you know, at least a modern country fan, but I mean, it takes you all the way through the beginning roots of country.
Yeah, it's a cultural history, really, of the United States.
Yeah, it's a history of America, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. You'll hear a lot of stuff that you had never heard before, and you're like, have you gotten to the part where they introduce Brenda Lee?
No.
Brenda Lee was amazing. She's like 12 years old on these shows, and you'd think it was a 25-year-old singing.
Yeah.
She's incredible. Anyway. So, yeah, definitely go check that out. It's worth your time.
All right. We've got fun stuff coming up next week. We won't tell you what it is. So, you'll spend the next week wondering what it's going to be.
I know what it is.
Oh, my God.
I know what it is.
It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, follow... Barrett Kilmer at twitter.com.
Hey.
I'll tell you what it is if you want to know.
Barrett Kilmer at twitter.com? That's not even close.
Yeah.
Twitter.com/
Yeah, Barrett okay, Kilmer. Fine. That's what happens when old people try to do stuff off the cuff.
Hit me up at bkilmer at internet.com.org.
Why don't they have internet/. They should have internet.com as an address. That'd make you cool, right?
What if nobody's registered it?
Theinternet.com.
.com.
Okay. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.